Billy J. Kramer, your real name is Bill Ashton?
Yes, well, it's actually William Howard Ashton.
The Billy J. Kramer, where'd it come from?
Well, I had a band with guys I just went to school with. And
In Liverpool?
In Liverpool, yes. And when I turned professional and Brian Epstein put me with the Dakotas, I was...
Where did the Dakotas come from, by the way, the name?
I don't know, because the Dakotas were from Manchester, and I you know, they were an already established band in the North of England, and I don't know where the origin of the name came from. But I was, like, known around the North as, like, Billy Kramer, and then it was John Lennon's suggestion that I put the J in to give it more of a flow to the name.
In retrospect, that's an honor of sorts, isn't it, having been named by John Lennon?
It sure is, yes. Yeah.
Your memories of the Beatles predate, I'm sure, any familiarity we had with them over here.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we had a lot of fun, and we were all just young guys growing up, and we played all the same venues, and we used to hang out together, and we used to always, like, on Saturday nights after the gigs, we used to play ten-pin bowling, you know? That's what we call it, ten-pin bowling, that's what you call it here. And, you know, it was just, we were all pretty just regular guys. And then, obviously, they had the success, and I had my success, and I used to tour with them, you know, and it was just, quite honestly, then it was just like, it was just absolutely, it was a lot of fun, but it was crazy, you know, getting in and out of places and hotels and theaters, you know.
What is the craziest, the single craziest thing you had to do to get out?
You know, I couldn't really tell you offhand, there's just so many. I can't, you know.
Christened, if you will, by John Lennon. Brian Epstein discovered you.
That's right. I think that was because I was doing a lot of the same places as the Beatles, and I was playing, you know, it was like a support act to them. And I think that's where, obviously, Brian would come along, because they were his act. And then I came very high in a popularity poll in a newspaper, a local newspaper called Merseybeat. And Brian then offered me a professional management contract, which I, well, actually, I jumped at it, you know.
I would think so.
Sure, I was really over the moon, you know. Because I always felt that, you know, he was going to be successful and the Beatles were going to be successful, and so I thought I had stood quite a good chance.
I probably never realized how enormously successful they would be.
No, I don't think anybody did, you know.
Do you have a favorite Beatles song?
A favorite Beatles? You know, it's so funny, because sometimes I've sat with their albums and I've got to be, you know, I've thought of doing songs in my show, and you get that way, there's just so many. And I don't think there's ever been another band like that, you know. I think I liked Hey Jude very much.
If Billy J. Kramer is going to include in his repertoire a Beatles song, what would it be?
Well, funny enough, I do the song Do You Want to Know a Secret, because that was my first record in England, and it was the number one hit for me there. And
Oh, you mean recorded by you?
Yes.
Prior to the Beatles?
Yes, I recorded the song before the Beatles. You know, it was given to me by Brian, with John just singing the song on an acoustic guitar. And I, at the time, was sort of like, wasn't recording it or anything. And I was doing the song live on stage, and I did it in Hamburg. And I'd been turned down by various recording companies. And then I tested for EMI under George Martin. And I did Do You Want to Know a Secret on the test, and he released it. And it went to number one there for me. I'll Keep You Satisfied, you know, was... which was, you know, because I was working with the Beatles all the time, and they just, we had, all right.
It's another Lennon McCartney song.
It was another Lennon McCartney song, and they just came down to the studio and played me the song, and we had it together in no time at all, which is, a lot of the time, like, I'll Keep Us Satisfied, we banged that off in a couple of hours, less than, from not even knowing it. From a Window, funny enough, was one of my favorites. I thought it was a good record. It was the only record, I think I spent longer on that record than any other single at the time. And I was a bit disappointed that I only went to like 10 or 12.
It's a good record.
I thought it was a good record, and I thought that, you know, it was as good as any of the others.
That, I tend to think that was one of your personal favorites then.
Yes, it was.
Why? Just the feel of it, or what?
The feel of it, and I was starting to get like less intimidated by the studios and by George Martin and all the hullabaloo in of show business, and I, you know, I felt that I was beginning to perform better in the studio and out of the studio as well. Trains and Boats and Planes, I was round at the guitar player's house, a guy called Mickey Green, and there was a Burt Bacharach special on TV, and he did a choral version of it, you know, of Trains and Boats and Planes, and we taped it, and we went along to see George Martin the next day.
This was a TV show you saw overseas?
It was one that he did in Britain.
Oh, I see, okay.
Yeah. And he did a choral version, you know, with girl session singers. And we recorded it. And
at whose suggestion? Yours?
No, me and this guy, we recorded it. We taped the show, you know, and we took the song to George Martin. And he said, well, how do you suggest that you can do it? Like, so I suggested various things, like double tracking the voice and the harmony and this, that, and the other. And we just went for it, and that was it, you know. It was an unfortunate thing, though. Like, it was the first real cover version I'd done, and we didn't know whether Burt Bacharach was going to release the record or he wasn't. And he got a few weeks start on us, but I think we outsold him in the end. Well, I think it's a toss-up between two of them, and that's Little Children and Bad to Me. I think I'm very flattered that John Lennon, when I was 20, I was doing a show with the Beatles in a place called Bournemouth, and he came up to me and said, like, I've got a song for you for your next single. And it was Bad to Me. And I feel really flattered, because in the Playboy interviews, he says, like, that the only song that he ever wrote for anybody was Billy J. Kramer, and the song was Bad to Me.
So he wrote that for you, then?
Yes. So I was very flattered about that, and... Well, it's something I don't really like to talk about a lot, you know.
We don't need to include it, but I don't have to.
No, I had two sons, you know.
Do you live in the United States now?
I live here and in Great Britain. I have two sons who live in Great Britain and go to school there. Which I guess is what I'm going to be doing, going to see them quite soon.
Do you perform here and in Great Britain both, or how often, how long are you in the United States at a time?
For like 4 or 5 months. At a time, and then I go back and do shows there, and I do shows in Europe, and I do shows in Australia. Yeah. It can be very tiring.
The one-night routines can be, can't they?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed this week, because it's the first, you know, all summer I've been dashing around and on and off airplanes, and it's been more busy in a way than the 60s, you know. And I've really enjoyed just being in one place. You know, it's the first time I've been in Louisville, and I've really enjoyed it, and I feel very relaxed and, you know, good. You know, I hope to come back soon.